Well, welcome everybody to Barton Publishing Talks. My name is Mo. I'll be your host for the night. We have a very special guest with us this evening, Dr. Saunders. And I would love to give you the floor for a minute. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Currently, I'm the medical director of the Integrative Medicine Center of Santa Barbara. And we have two offices, one in Longfoot, one in Santa Barbara. And what we do is integrative medicine, and that means essentially whatever works. It's a very pragmatic type of healthcare. And so what we try to do is get to, instead of just treating symptoms, we try to find the cause, treat the cause, and then the symptoms just disappear. And it's actually very effective because the new medicine, the 21st century medicine, allows us to do testing on individuals. I went to UCLA Medical School and did a family practice residency. I delivered hundreds of babies. I took care of everybody from childhood up to I was a medical director of a nursing home. And it was actually at that time when I was in the nursing home, I was taking on the hardest cases because nobody else wanted them and I had to take them. And I ended up with these people who were on 10, 15, or 20 medications. And we know that medications interact with each other and cause problems within just the medications themselves, and that they're likely to do more harm than good when you get over about six of them. So I tried to pare down the medications, and I taught myself how to get off medications and what types of things you could use instead. So alternatives to the drugs. And that's why I do what I do now.
That's very interesting. I think it's a different philosophy of thinking, and it kind of brings us to the topic we're going to talk about today, which is high blood pressure, but ultimately how to really work with your doctor to, you know, eventually get off the drugs, but maybe start by lowering the dosages. And I think you touched on something very important, which is you were saying the root cause is not always the symptom. I think that might be a good place to start with high blood pressure. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what high blood pressure is and why people get it?
Okay. Blood pressure is the actual amount of pressure you have. Your heart is pumping out blood, and there's some resistance in your blood vessels, and that causes pressure. So you have a sort of a normal amount of pressure that's required to circulate your blood all through your body, and all of your little capillaries are very, very tiny blood vessels that are actually a little smaller than the red blood cells. So you need some pressure to get the blood through those as well. And that turns out to be somewhere around 120/80, and that's kind of what is generally used as a normal blood pressure. So the reason this pressure goes up is for all the reasons that you have pressure in the first place. Your heart is pumping harder, and that can generate more pressure. Or your blood vessels can constrict, can create more pressure. They actually, your blood vessels all have muscles in them. And so that's another thing that will generate more blood pressure. Sometimes you have extra blood volume, so that extra volume creates more pressure. So within that, above that, there are so many reasons your blood pressure can go up. Something that increases the flow of blood to your heart or through your heart would be like if you have a lot of stress, then your stress hormones cause harder contractions of your heart, and that produces more blood pressure. So stress can do it of any kind, physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress. People walk into a doctor's office, and they sit down and they go, "Oh, I hate being in a doctor's office," and their blood pressure goes up. And so
that's a very good point, though.
I
was going to ask, well, how do you determine that if I'm at the doctor's office? I know I hate going to the doctor just because it makes me very anxious. I'm sure that I would get high blood pressure at that point. But what is determining to say you have high blood pressure?
Well, that is a really good issue because. Actually, if you follow the guidelines, it requires at least three measurements before you ever tell someone they have high blood pressure. If you have one high reading, you go, okay, you have one high reading. You have this. Your blood pressure is high right now. But that doesn't mean it always is. So the other what's required of doctors is to take at least 3 readings and ideally more than that before they tell somebody they have high blood pressure, because, you know, like I said, that 1 reading doesn't make high blood pressure necessarily.
That's very interesting. My dad has dialysis, and I remember getting the call at 10 o'clock at night saying he has to go to the ER room because the test results came back. We all wondered if it was a symptom of just a misreading or if it would happen or what the case was. And it wasn't for another couple of weeks that they actually said, you know, this is what you need to do. And so that always had made me wonder, well, you know, what is the basis of saying you have X, especially with high blood pressure, because in any normal stress environment, your blood pressure would go up. So how can you work to find a cause? I mean, what would be something someone could do, most likely with the help of their doctor, to kind of find what the root cause of it is, really?
Okay, that's where testing comes in. There's a lot of what we do, what we start off with, is lifestyle issues. Blood pressure goes up with any kind of stress, which would include inflammation in the body. So people have infections and their blood pressure goes up. And so you look around for infections. They could have a dental abscess, for example, and their blood pressure will be higher than normal. They could have something wrong in their intestines. And in their lifestyle, a lot of times people eat, they don't eat good food, and they cause more inflammation in their body, and that makes their blood pressure go up. So the food we eat has a huge effect on our blood pressure.
So even just simple food eating, having a cold, anything like that can affect the blood pressure.
Anything like that. Remember, blood pressure is a vital sign. Blood pressure is not a disease. People often think that, you know, oh, my blood pressure is high, I gotta be on a pill. But it's not a disease. It's really just a vital sign. It's just an indicator or a symptom of disease. So you take this symptom and you say, well, why is it high? Is it because I'm getting too much salt? Well, too much salt increases your blood volume and your blood pressure goes up. Or is it that I don't have enough potassium? And that's actually more often the case. Doctors tell people to get off of salt when they're better off stopping the potassium. Instead of getting off the salt, they're better off eating more potassium, because the kidney can handle all the sodium, the 45 grams of salt a day, which is quite a bit, as long as you have enough potassium in the kidney to be able to excrete that salt.
That's very interesting, because going back to just the basics of dialysis, I know my dad now eats a very special diet, and he's very paranoid about any sort of salt that we at all, period. And I know he watches how much potassium he eats as well,
right,
which actually led to him going on dialysis less times in a week than normal. But so now, why would a doctor, if I go in, they get a high blood pressure and just give me medication for high blood pressure, instead of trying to work towards finding out what those lifestyle or maybe other causes would be?
Because it's hard. There's 300 or more reasons why your blood pressure might be elevated. And it takes a lot of time to go through them. It's a lot simpler to give somebody a medication and say, here, take this, your blood pressure will go down, and then it'll be okay. The problem with that is that since it doesn't address the issue of why the blood pressure is elevated, it doesn't help the disease either. So people, if they have a condition, their condition continues to get worse. Like, let's just say they have diabetes and their blood pressure is elevated, and it's called metabolic syndrome, and it's a very common metabolic problem where the blood pressure goes up. So they have the doctor giving them medication, and the medication doesn't address the metabolic problem, so the person continues to get worse. Their problem, their metabolic syndrome continues to get worse in spite of the medication. And this has been shown in multiple studies. There was one study in England with 5,000 people that they followed over time. And the ones on the medications, they had lower blood pressure, but they still got more heart attacks by 12%, and more kidney failure and more blindness. So it was still, they had more complications, and so the left the doctors scratching their heads. Why? You know, if their blood pressure is normal, why are they having more complications? Well, the problem is that the disease persists in spite of the normal numbers.
So it sounds like, you know, this is because you're saying it's very hard. How would I, let's say I go and a doctor tells me I have high blood pressure and now I got to take this medication. What should I be doing? What's the first thing I should ask myself?
Okay. The simplest thing is to look at what you eat and how much exercise you get. Those are the two very basic things for high blood pressure. So if you have a sedentary lifestyle, you're not exercising very much at all, you're not getting your blood pumping a few times a week at least, like three times a week, then you're more likely to have high blood pressure. And then the other thing is if your diet is filled with fats and starches and sugars, which cause inflammation, all three of those cause inflammation and will raise the blood pressure. I can take somebody who has like a metabolic syndrome with high blood pressure down to normal in a matter of 2 weeks on an anti-inflammatory diet, and that's just with diet and nothing else. At the Whitaker Wellness Institute, they use a brown rice and vegetable diet, and that's pretty much all they eat. So the first thing somebody needs to look at is, what are my lifestyle issues? And most people that come into me, I ask them about it. Okay, so what's your lifestyle like? Oh, well, you know, I don't exercise much and I eat too much salt and I just love pizza, so I eat pizza every night. And so I ask them, well, what would you do about that? Well, I know I shouldn't, so I'm going to have to go off it, huh? So actually, very often they'll tell me what their lifestyle issues are. That they need, the things that they need to change in order to normalize their blood pressure. And a lot of them will say, oh, I need to lose some weight and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, okay, right on. Okay, start with that. And that's easy. Well, for me, I'm the doctor.
Well, I think that might be the hardest part. I think that, you know, people, you know, get on the medication and think, okay, well, the medication is going to lower my high blood pressure, so then I'm okay. But it sounds like from what you're saying is there could be a whole other cause behind the high blood pressure. So we might even be doing more harm to the body because we're doing something completely different that's counteractive, and all the medication's doing is just pretty much doing, you know, balancing out something that doesn't need to be balanced to begin with.
Exactly, Mo. So, and that's been shown. That's actually been shown what happens. When people were brought into the emergency department, they were doing studies with strokes, and they find that everybody who has a stroke, they come into the hospital with very high blood pressure, 200 over 100 and higher. And so what's the first thing a doctor does when he sees the numbers? He goes, oh, no, we got to bring that down. So they used to give them something called sublingual nifedipine. And what they found out is their strokes got worse, and they died more often when they started doing that. So now when people go into the emergency department with a stroke, they don't bring the blood pressure down, even if it's 200 over 100. So because apparently they need that in order to perfuse their brain properly.
Oh, okay, interesting. I did not know that. There's a lot of fun fill facts that I'm learning about. So obviously there's several types of, you know, listeners that we probably have. A, the person who hasn't been diagnosed with high blood pressure and might, so let's just say this is somebody who just heard from their doctor today. And then there's the person who's already on high blood pressure medication. And then lastly, the person who's been on it the longest. So basically there's the person who's just getting on it, the person who's already on it or just started, and then lastly, somebody who's been on it maybe for several years. Obviously the steps for each one of those is drastically different. So sounds like we covered in the beginning, like if I have not been diagnosed or I just got diagnosed, the first thing I should look at is diet and exercise.
Correct.
Now, what if I do have a good diet and I do exercise, then what?
And your blood pressure is still high. Well, then the next step would be to do some testing. Your doctor would need to test to find out, are your kidneys functioning properly? Because if it's a kidney problem, it's very different from if it's a heart problem, for example. So then you could look at stressors in your life. What kinds of stressors do you have? Chronic stress are things that where people worry about the future, are trapped in the present, or have not let go of the past. And those are the real stressors that could create a hypertension, because those are the things that release adrenaline and the adrenal hormones into the blood, and that causes the blood pressure to be elevated. So stress is a big one. And then the next step is actually with your doctor, say, okay, what tests can we do to find out why this blood pressure is elevated? And very often he'll do the metabolic panels, make sure the liver, the kidneys are functioning properly, the organs, and then maybe even a test on the heart. So the next step after that would be to actually work with your doctor.
Got it. So then let's say I've already been on high blood pressure medication for a year or 6 months, whatever the case may be. What is the first thing that I should look at is still diet and exercise at that point, or?
It still is.
Okay.
But part of that is if somebody's already been on blood pressure medication, very often they'll already have had some testing done. So they'll know that the kidneys are functioning well, the heart's functioning well, that this is not a matter of severe atherosclerosis where you have hardening of the arteries or something like that. Because that's an entirely different treatment from somebody who walks into the doctor's office and their blood pressure goes up because they're stressed or they're anxious about being there.
Now, how organized should a person be about this? Is this something where, you know, I should ask my doctor, hey, look, I heard that, you know, the first thing I should do to lower my high blood pressure is to get exercise and eat normally. Can you tell me, you know, do I ask what my blood pressure is and then kind of take a record of that and then also check it myself at home? Or how would I, you know that I'm improving minus having to go to the doctor and schedule an appointment?
Okay, that's a great question, because ultimately what you're asking is, should the patient take charge of the problem instead of relying on the doctor for all the information? And that is really important. Once the patient takes charge and says and decides, I'm going to find a solution to this problem. And then he goes into the doctor and he says, could you help me find a solution to this problem? And doctors love that. It's like, yeah, that's what I live for. When someone walks in and says, you know, I'm looking for a solution. Could you help me find one? And so if somebody has high blood pressure and they come in to me and they say, I would like to get my blood pressure normal. So how do I go about doing that? What's the first thing I need to do? And then the doctor would be willing very often to help with that. Most doctors will. I don't know of any that won't. But then the person taking his own blood pressure and keeping track of it is a way to know how you're doing. It's kind of like someone trying to lose weight and never measuring themselves. A lot of people won't step on a scale because they're afraid to look at the scale. But they don't know if they're losing weight or not. They don't know where they are. It's kind of like driving a car and you don't have a speedometer. You don't know how fast you're going. You have to be able to measure it. So, yes, absolutely. Everybody who has a blood pressure problem who wants to get off their medications should start checking your own blood pressure, keeping a log, keeping a record. And the way to do that is kind of important that you not do it in times of stress. You do it when you're quiet and relaxed, because the question we're asking does not, does the blood pressure ever go up? Everybody's blood pressure goes up. I run across the street and it's going to be up over 200. There's always a reason for the blood pressure going up with any kind of stress, even physical stress. So what we want to see is, does it ever come down when you're quiet and relaxed? Do you have normal blood pressure? And that's really the question you're asking. And that's why people who walk into a doctor's office and only have high blood pressure in the doctor's office should not be on medications or treatments or anything. You go, okay, yeah, I go in the doctor and it's high. But I go home and it's fine. So I very often have people check their blood pressure at home. And if they don't have a machine, they go into some of the banks and pharmacies will have a little seat you can sit in with a blood pressure cuff in there that you can measure your blood pressure. I have them do that.
So that's an interesting. How fast should I be able to see a result of some sort? I mean, I start exercising, and we probably want to tell our listeners to start easy. You know, if you've never exercised before, don't go run a marathon. But, you know, start out with a 20-minute exercise a day, eat right, and you're saying brown rice and vegetables seems to be like maybe perhaps the most extreme diet and a good way to kind of transition and then work your way up from there. As it's always, from the way I understood, it's always good to start at the bottom and with the least amount of obstacles, and then as you're normalized, then start adding in things back. Now, how fast or how soon should I expect to see, you know, my blood pressure drop?
Yeah, within a couple of weeks, you see improvement. You may see improvement right away, but blood pressure kind of drops gradually over time. And as you're taking in the brown rice and vegetables, you're getting a lot more potassium, which allows you to balance out your sodium and potassium. And that doesn't happen overnight. But within a couple of weeks, you should start seeing noticeable improvement, such that when you're taking your own blood pressure, you're going, you know, gee, I used to sort of generally be in the 150s and 160s, and now I'm seeing in the 140s and 150s more. So you should start seeing improvement. It may not be all normal right away within 2 weeks, but you should definitely see improvement.
And you say this is across the board, doesn't matter, you know, if I just got diagnosed or I've had it for a while or whatever the case may be.
Yes. In fact, I had one woman recently that I put on that brown rice and vegetable diet. And so she's eating green vegetables, brown rice, and then she can have beans, peas, and lentils. And that's pretty much all she eats. And within 1 week, she came back and she said, I've got to do something about this dizziness. I said, what do you mean dizziness? She goes, oh, man, I stand up and I get really dizzy. I go, that's not a good sign. So did you check your blood pressure? And she said, yeah, it's dropping down to 80 or 40. Then I said, we have to stop this medication, the blood pressure medication. So we actually got her off all her blood pressure medication in 1 week, just
wow,
doing the diet and nothing else. She wasn't doing any exercise either. It was just the diet.
Now, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, so I'm going to say that that's probably, you know, case-by-case basis on how fast they can get off the medication.
Absolutely. I have done this many times, and hers is an unusual case. Yes.
Okay. So now that brings me a really good point. Your doctor should be able to help you with this. So how do I approach my doctor to say, not that I want to get off drugs. I think that anybody who walks into the doctor and say, I want to get off these drugs, the doctor's going to go, okay, you're crazy. But what's the first step? Hey, doctor, I'm not interested in necessarily getting off the drugs, but maybe lowering the dosage. Is that a good step to start in?
That is a good step. Very often the medications may be causing side effects. Or if a person is having problems with their blood pressure dropping too low, especially if they're getting like dizziness or headaches, dizziness when you stand up mostly. So you're lying down, you stand up, and you have to hold on to something for a few seconds in order to start going, that kind of thing. So that's the easiest way to start is to say, I'm having these symptoms and I understand that these are the side effects of the blood pressure medication. Is there any way that I can lower the dose? And that idea of lowering the dose is a very good idea to start off with. And then what can I do? What lifestyle changes should I make in order for me to allow me to lower the dose?
Okay. That sounds fair. Now, I want to circle back to something we kind of talked about earlier, and I'm not sure if we dove into it as much as we would have liked to. We said that blood pressure or high blood pressure is really a symptom or, you know, something that is not necessarily, you know, a big myth is always, is it a disease or is it not? Because you hear all over the streets, everybody's always like, well, I have high blood pressure. which I'm always like, what does that mean? You know, I just ran up here. I have high blood pressure too. What does that mean exactly?
Yes. Yes. High blood pressure is, there are so many possible reasons for having high blood pressure. I look at it like you have this box, and we call this the hypertension box. And there are 30 to 50, a couple of hundred different ways to get into that hypertension box. But your only way out of the box is the way you got in. So let's take one example. Many people in our society, very commonly about 40% of people are deficient in magnesium. And magnesium is something that is a smooth muscle relaxant, so it relaxes the blood vessels and lowers the blood pressure. And it relaxes everything. It relaxes the body. People can't sleep. They take magnesium, and boom, they can be out like a light and sleep very nicely. All of these people that are low in magnesium, deficient in magnesium, would not be benefited by being on a low-sodium diet necessarily, and wouldn't be benefited by taking extra potassium, because that's not their problem. You have to deal with the problem of how you got into that box in the first place. And so your only way out is the way you came in. And so that's why it's important to deal with all of the different possibilities, to look at all the different possibilities and say, is this a nutritional problem? Is this a stress problem? Do I need more exercise? Am I eating wrong? Most of the time, we are able to lower people's blood pressure with a diet and exercise program. Not that hard.
So then it doesn't sound like blood pressure is a disease necessarily.
No, it's not a disease. No, it's just a symptom. It's just a vital sign.
I think that's interesting. It's good to know. I think a lot of people, you know, you go to the doctor and they could say you have anything and you freak out. You think, oh my God, I'm the only one in the world with it. And that's just because of the reaction of where you're at.
People don't die because of high blood pressure. You sort of get this image in your head that your blood pressure went up, therefore your artery is going to pop in your brain and you're going to die, or an artery is going to pop in your heart and you're going to die. And that's not the way it works. It just doesn't happen that way. With hypertension, it's not the blood pressure that causes the problem. It's whatever else is going on. So if you have hardening of the arteries, if you have atherosclerosis because of this chronic inflammation in your blood vessels, then your blood vessels are getting harder and harder, and you're going to have a heart attack at some point because of the inflammation. The blood pressure's there. It's part of the problem, but it's not the cause of the problem. So the studies that are done, and this is very interesting, Mo, the studies are done using blood pressure medication. So you give somebody a blood pressure medication, and you follow them for 20 years, and you keep their blood pressure down the whole time, normal and everything, and you compare that to people who don't have any blood pressure medication, their blood pressures are high. Do they live any longer? No. Multiple studies, years and years of studies, many studies, all of blood pressure medications, and not one of them has shown shown anybody to live one day longer because of their blood pressure medication. It just doesn't work. It's true they may have the 12 to 20% fewer heart attacks, but most of those are non-fatal heart attacks anyway, and they die of other things. They get congestive heart failure because of the medication, or they get kidney disease because of the medication. So they usually die of other causes, but nevertheless, nobody lives longer because of bringing your blood pressure down. Really, if you deal with the disease that's causing the hypertension, that's where your benefit lies.
Interesting. So I like what you said earlier, though, which is, you know, there's only one way out of the box. It kind of brings a whole new meaning to that phrase. To know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. Almost
right.
Like you got to retrace your steps to basically undo what has happened here. And I think that's a really good note to take out, which is, you know, how do you backtrack all the way down. And first by removing certain symptoms and kind of working with your doctor on tests. Is there anything else you'd like to add about high blood pressure, maybe that we didn't cover that may be beneficial to our listeners at all?
Yeah, and one of the things about high blood pressure is people, anxiety brings up your blood pressure as well. And there's this vicious cycle that comes in where you're kind of anxious. So you go into the doctor, and he measures your blood pressure, and it's high, and he says, you have hypertension. You go, oh, no, I'm going to die from my hypertension. And then you get anxious about that, and then your blood pressure goes up more. And even though that's not a risk factor for heart disease or blood vessel disease or anything like that, it still is one problem of diagnosing high blood pressure as a disease. Is anxiety. Don't worry about it. It's not a worrisome thing. It's only an indicator. If you had a temperature of 102, would you worry about it? Yeah, you'd go, I wonder why I have a temperature of 102. Do I have the flu, or do I have pneumonia, or do I have a kidney infection or cancer or something like that that's bringing up my my temperature? If you look at blood pressure exactly the same way, and say, why is my blood pressure high? Do I have heart disease, atherosclerosis? Do I have inflammation in my body? Am I missing some nutrients like potassium or magnesium? And then address the problem. It's really should not be anxiety provoking.
Interesting. So that's good to know, because for instance, I'm a very natural anxious person. So I bet I have high blood pressure all the time, although nobody's really told me that. But I do watch what I eat, and I probably should exercise more than I do, but I do watch what I eat, and mainly that's been because of my dad's situation and just listening to people like yourself and working at Barton Publishing here has taught me just eat right. It saves a lot of headache in the long run, and that's really... I think the biggest motivation is to eliminate the headache at the long run of having to deal with any sort of medication if I don't have to. So,
exactly.
Well, with that, I would love to thank you for giving us your time this evening and running through this, and thank our listeners, and that's it, pretty much a wrap.